Abba, I thank you so much for today. I thank you that we get to come and be in your presence together. I love that we sung about such intimacy with you today. God, may we continue to experience your love and your peace. May we know you more and more every day. God, may we choose to set aside everything else of the world to spend time with you. It's so true that better is one day with you than 1,000 elsewhere. And God, may we remember that as we're going throughout our day. May we remember your love and bask in your presence. I'm so thankful that you want to spend time with us, that you want us to know you. And God, I pray that we would just continue to experience your love and continue to grow deeper. And God, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would open our ears, open our hearts to what you are wanting to say to us today. And God, may we take it and may it fall on good ground. God, would you transform us? Would you continue to take us from glory to glory? And we love you so much. And I just thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Enjoyed worship. I mean, it began with a melody in our heart. It brought us to the place of sharing, this is my story, this is my song. And then bringing us even deeper into more intimacy of the value of the community of faith and being in God's presence, and that nothing else matters. That better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Truly enjoyed our worship today. Thank you. Our scripture today is found in John chapter 6, verse 24 through 35. So please follow along and hear the word of God. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus replied, "I assure you that you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate all the food you wanted. Don't work for the food that doesn't last, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of God will give you. God the Father has confirmed him as his agent to give life." They asked, "What must we do in order to accomplish what God requires?" Jesus replied, "This is what God requires, that you believe in him whom God sent." They asked, "What miraculous sign will you do that we can see and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus told them, "I assure you, it wasn't Moses who gave the bread from heaven to you, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. The bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said, "Sir, give us this bread all the time." Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life." And in the original translation, the word "the" is not there. It's "I am bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Let us pray. We come before your holy presence, God, in awe of who you are. And now we ask that you would reveal to us the truth of your holy word, that we would encounter you in such a way that we will be changed and transformed by it. In Jesus' name, amen. So who is this man that the world is talking about? Who is this man that we celebrated 2 weeks ago on Easter Sunday? Who is this man, Jesus? Because that is the question that people are asking, not only the people who are in our text, but also people today. Believe it or not, because of just open wide to the world and so much knowledge, people are questioning, who is this Jesus? That we don't need to assume that the world knows who Jesus is. And if someone was to ask you that question, what would your answer be? If someone said, who is this Jesus? Would you know how to answer the question? Do you know who Jesus is? You know, Jesus, he asked his disciples, first of all, he said, who do the crowd say that I am? In other words, why is the world saying who I am? And then he asked the disciples individually, who do you say that I am? And in the history of the world, there has only been one individual in the entire world who ever claimed to be literally the Son of God, whoever claimed to be Savior of the world, whoever claimed to die for the sins of all of humanity, and then 3 days later be resurrected and rose again. Is there anyone in this whole earth other than Jesus that ever claimed that? And I would think those facts alone would create enough curiosity to drive people to ask the question, who is this Jesus? And specifically, who is Jesus to you? Ponder that question. John, who was one of the disciples, he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, wrote the fourth gospel in our New Testament, in the Bible, and he records in what biblical scholars call the seven I am statements. And I am, A-M, they're all capitalized. The seven I am statements, you cannot find these seven I am statements in the other three gospels. They are only recorded in the Gospel of John. And we are going, and these I am statements reveal and tell us exactly who Jesus is. And we know that Jesus came to this earth to reveal to us the Father. And Scripture says that if you have seen the Son, you have seen the Father. And therefore, it is very important for us to understand who Jesus is. Jesus clearly wants us to know who he is. Now, I love the story of the burglar who broke into someone's house and thought that there was nobody at home. And to his surprise, he discovered that there was a man and woman in bed watching television. And so he drew his gun and he pointed it at the woman and he asked her what her name was. And she said that her name was Elizabeth. And he said, well, Elizabeth, today is your lucky day because I cannot shoot anybody by the name of Elizabeth because Elizabeth was my mother's name. And then he pointed the gun at her husband and he said, what is your name? And he said, my name is Harry, but everybody calls me Elizabeth. Now, I say that because the name is important of the identity. And what Jesus did is who is defined who he is. And what Jesus did, he did because of who he is. Who is this Jesus? Because if you were to ask Jesus to define himself, he did not use titles and names such as his name being Judy, and Judy is the business administrator. That is not how Jesus described who he was. Jesus used metaphors. I've just, you know, put you on the spot there. Yeah. Jesus used metaphors. And if you ask Jesus who he is, he would tell you, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. Those are the seven I am statements. Why did Jesus specifically take time to engage in self-identification at all? Why did he use metaphors such as bread and light and door and shepherd? And over the next 7 to 8 weeks, we're going to discover why. Because this is the beginning of the sermon series of looking at the I am statements of Jesus. Everyone has Jesus-shaped needs. God created everyone with a in their soul with a place where Jesus fits perfectly. And no one or anything else is to be in that place. Now, my little 2-year-old granddaughter takes that literally right there in your heart, and you see her every once in a while going, Carly, what are you doing? Well, I'm asking Jesus if he'd like some blueberries. You know, while she's eating her breakfast, but this is what she does when she talks to Jesus, okay? At 2, she gets the concept that there is a place in her heart that only Jesus can fill. And Jesus answers the question, who do you think I am, with these 7 simple but deep and profound I am statements. They're filled with hope, they're filled with encouragement, and it answers the need of every person. You can take everything there is in this world that the world has to offer, no matter what it is, and you are never going to be fully satisfied. You will never be fully fulfilled. For example, hot, fresh donuts. Somebody said. Yes, you can smell them. My mouth waters thinking about them. I love donuts. But the problem with donuts is that there is never enough. And when you, doesn't matter how many you eat, a little bit later you're hungry again. And the reason why is because, according to nutritionists, they contain empty calories. Every food contains calories, but not all foods contain the same type of calories. And donut is a food of fats and sugars. Why does all the good stuff have to be that way? But it's full of fats and sugars. And when you eat it, it has no nutrients, no vitamins, no value of nutrition whatsoever for your body. That is why, if a little bit later, you're hungry again. But don't they oh so taste so good going down? This is why they are called empty calories. And when you are hungry, if you choose the wrong food to eat, you're going to be empty and hungry again. If you try to satisfy that emptiness in your soul and in your heart with the wrong thing, you are still going to remain empty and hungry. We all live in this world, and every single one of us have 3 things that we hunger for. Number 1, we hunger for security. We want financial security. We want the ability to buy food, to be secured financially. We work hard so that one day we can retire. We want to be dependent and not have to rely upon anyone else. We want physical security. We want to be healthy. We want to be able to enjoy the things that we have purchased and the things that we have in this life. And we want the ability to take care of ourselves. And we want emotional security. We want the ability to love, and we want the ability to be loved. That is in all of us. We want that sense of belonging and to know that we are loved and to be loved. Number 2, we also hunger for significance. We want personal significance. We want to know in our own mind that we're worth something, that we are of value. And oftentimes we rip ourselves apart because our identity is based on things and the ways of this world rather than Jesus Christ, and we consider ourselves of no worth and value. But we all want that sense of significance. And then we want relational significance. We want to know, does our life matter to others? And sad to say, our culture raises the bar higher and higher and higher, and it's never good enough because you didn't buy this new product and you didn't wear this shirt and you don't have these type of shoes and you don't have this kind of makeup and you don't drive this kind of car, and therefore it's never good enough and you are of no worth or value. We hunger for security, we hunger for significance, and finally we hunger for satisfaction. We want to be satisfied, we want to be peaceful, we want to be content. Honestly, do you ever want to get to the place where you just don't want or need anything? Yeah. You want to get to the place where, I'm perfectly content. I don't have to strive for anything else. I've arrived. Don't have to buy anything else. Everything's fixed. Everything's grand and glory. That's because we all hunger for satisfaction. And too many people find out too late that you will not have complete satisfaction if you are hungering after the empty calories of success and money and things and stuff. And here in the United States, we are good at collecting stuff. And our house gets full and we build barns to save more stuff. And that gets full, and then we get those, what are those containers that you see in people's front yards so that they can put more stuff? And the question that you've got to ask yourself is it enough? And what good is it doing you? Who is it helping? Why? Because the truth is we always want more, and it never seems to be enough. And there is a hunger in our heart that only Jesus Christ can fulfill. Jesus knows that in our soul, he is the only one that can fill that place. He himself tells us that in seven different ways through these seven different I am statements. Jesus understands us better than we understand us. He knows what our heart is hungering for, and he knows what will satisfy the desires of our soul. The world also knows and understands that as well. That's why they go to great lengths with advertisement. And in the Gospel of John, these seven statements are statements that Jesus said, and we are going to look today at the first one. And Jesus said, "I am bread of life." Now that statement, when Jesus arrived on the scene and said, "I am bread of life," it was like an explosion in the people's ears. Okay, the people that were there that day listening, it captured their attention because Jesus was basically saying, what food is to your body, I am to your soul. Jesus knew that what he was doing when he compared himself to bread, because it doesn't matter where you are in this world, it doesn't matter what country you are in, and when you're in that country, you go to that restaurant, what is the first thing that that waiter or waitress brings to your table and sets down? Bread. It doesn't matter where you are. It may be in Mexico, a tortilla. It may be in New York, a bagel. It may be in the South, biscuits, which I love the most. Okay? But that bread is there, and everybody wants it, everybody eats it. It's part of a culture, unless you are gluten intolerant. Then you don't have the joy of always eating that bread. But Jesus knew that this was something that they would definitely identify with, and he went far beyond the physical bread to illustrate that he is the one and the only one to fulfill and to satisfy your soul. But you also have to remember the story before this story. Because the day before, Jesus had just fed 5,000 men, along with women and children, five loaves and a couple of fish. He and his disciples then, after they had fed that crowd of people, left the crowd, traveled across the Sea of Galilee to get some rest. The next day, the crowds followed them there, and Jesus knew exactly why they came, and he exposed the motive of their heart and said, I assure you that you are looking for me is not because you saw the miraculous signs, but it was because you ate all the food that you wanted. You see, Jesus not only knows what we do, but he also knows why we do what we do. And Jesus wanted the crowd to follow him, but he wanted the crowd to follow him for the right reasons. And the crowd did not follow Jesus for the right reasons. Because you see, they thought they had hit the jackpot, that Jesus was going to be their bread maker and their fish maker, that he was going to produce that food just like what they thought Moses did in the wilderness. They saw Jesus as their meal ticket. They didn't see Jesus as their Savior. They saw him as the chef. And they didn't see him as Christ. They saw him as the cook. In other words, what's in it for me? We all need three things to survive: shelter and clothing and food. food and water. These people didn't need shelter. They had clothing, but they were in need of food. And they knew that Jesus could give it to them. They thought that what so many of us think now, and that life is nothing more than material and physical blessings. What you can place your hands on, what you can put in your mouth, what you can, where you can live, and the type of job that you can have. And yet there is so much more to it than that. And Jesus says, do not work for food that doesn't last, but for food that endures for eternal life. That's why we were singing that song, better is one day in your court than 1,000 elsewhere, because that does not need to be your focus on the things that you're searching for. We need to hunger for and focus on things that are of eternal value, the kingdom of God. In Matthew, it says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto you. But first, you are to seek the kingdom of God. That is first and most important. And to put it simply, Jesus said that you are never going to find the security and the significance and the satisfaction of these empty calories that you call food that the world has to offer. You are only going to find it in Jesus, who is the bread of life, who has the power to satisfy forever. Now, I'm going to get off the subject just a little bit, so don't worry, I'll come back to where you need to click. But just need to say something. I want to give you a modern day example of people struggling, trying to get and please the ways of the world versus seeking the kingdom of God first. Here is a perfect example. Parents have believed the lie that in order for their children to be popular, successful, and be great in high school, they have got to be involved in sports. And I don't want you to hear that I'm against sports, because I'm not. Hear me out. But that's why we have sports 24/7 on Wednesdays and on Sundays, year-round, constantly, that they've got to be perfect in football and basketball and baseball, because therefore that's going to make them successful and they're going to do this. And they drive to great lengths and they spend tremendous amount of money in doing this, because this is what's going to make them successful, because they have believed this is what the world has dictated to them. And I am including Christian parents as well. And yet they do nothing to prepare their child's soul for eternal value. And it is only 0.1% that child that you have hauled all over creation to be in every sport under the sun, there is only 1% that they will ever go professional in that field. But there is 100% that that child is going to stand before Almighty God and be judged whether or not he will spend eternity with Jesus. Do you get the point? Amen. And parents will give their children the option of whether or not they are going to church. But they don't give them an option of whether or not they go to school. And it was never an option in my house. And if my kids went running around on Friday and Saturday night, their little hind ends better be here on Sunday morning. And if it wasn't, it was the end of Friday and Saturday night. Ask them, they will tell you. People, you better value your loved ones' hearts and place where the importance is, because it is 100% you have to have Jesus in order to have that eternity. And you are teaching them that their satisfaction, their value, and your worth is in all of these worldly things. And I don't want you to leave here today, well, Pastor Tony said we can't play baseball anymore. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, where is your priority? And we show up late or not at all to church events, but you never dreamed in a million years that you would be late at your job. Which is more important? Your job is going to pay your bills and give you that earthly food, but what is going to give you that eternal satisfaction? And how in the world do you think you're going to function and survive through the rest of the week if you don't come and fill your soul spiritually? And I don't mean just on Sundays, but every single day. Okay, now we'll go back to where we need to be. Then Jesus tells us in two simple lessons how to be a satisfied customer. Number one, he says, look for the spiritual, not the material. And remember that Jesus is speaking to that huge crowd of people that had just been fed the day before, and the problem was they were obsessed with the material. We have emotional attachments to material things. That's why we hang on to them. But is it of eternal value? What good does it do you? Hang on to it. And the problem is that they were obsessed with that rather than, and because of that, they could not see the spiritual. And Jesus challenges them to quit striving for the stuff that is not going to last and start focusing on the stuff that will. Look at what is the eternal value. And someone in the crowd asked a good question, and they said, what must we do in order to accomplish what God requires? He just got through saying, I am. And here's their question. And here's Jesus' response. This is what God requires, that you believe in him whom God sent. And Jesus said, there is one primary job that you better get done while you are here on this earth, and that is to believe in me. Believe in me, the one who God sent. That's pretty powerful, and that's what got him killed. Believe in me, the one whom God sent. And guess what? The crowd didn't like it. And so here's their response. Well, what miraculous sign will you do that we can see and believe you? I mean, he already says, I am, which is only reserved. That was such a holy word. That's why the word Yahweh is spelled the way it is, because they wouldn't put the vowels in with the consonants. And they said, what will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And again, in our text, it reveals what they really wanted and where their real focus was. And what they were saying basically is, Moses fed the people in Israel every day with manna that came from heaven. Can't you at least be like Moses, Jesus? Can you not at least give us that bread every day? And it proved that the crowd was not seeking a savior. They were looking for a sugar daddy. And sad to say, too many of us treat Jesus as a sugar daddy. Here's my list. This is what I want. Thank you, Jesus. And check out. Did you sit down and listen to anything that Jesus had to say? Is there any kind of relationship, or do you just bring your wish list to Jesus? Listen to Jesus' response. I assure you, it wasn't Moses who gave bread from heaven to you. But my Father gives you true bread from heaven. The bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Not just a few, but the world. Moses didn't give the manna, God did. Moses just showed the people where to find it. My job is to show you where to find it. I'm not the Savior. And then Jesus pointed out a more important truth, that there are two kinds of bread. There is a physical bread that is going to feed our body that we need for nourishment, but there is a spiritual bread that our soul needs to survive. And if you're not feasting on God's word and being in relationship, your soul is parched. And there is only one bread that can satisfy and only one that will last. And the crowd finally hears it, finally. And they say, well, sir, then give us this bread all the time and put it on the table and keep it coming. You see, it's interesting that what Jesus wanted the crowd then and what he wants us to understand today is that there is more to life than material and physical blessings. And that those things are not going to bring you security, significance, and satisfaction. That if you look to the world for these things, you are going to die a hungry person. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, even if you have no money. Come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on bread that does not give you strength? Why pay for bread that does you no good? Listen, and I will tell you where to get bread that is good for your soul. See, it's of what is eternal value. It's not about pleasing your stomach or your physical needs. Our life is taken up daily trying to satisfy ourselves constantly. And we make satisfaction our number one goal because, let's face it, we like to be comfortable, do we not? We even have comfort food. We've been called creatures of comfort. And if we don't like the television show, we just hit the remote button. If we don't like the song on our iPad, we just hit the menu and select something else. And if we feel like that our church is not meeting our needs, we just hit change the church button. And we are bombarded every day with, you got to upgrade, you got to get the newest item, you don't need to borrow, you need to buy it, it needs to be fresh and new, you need it, you need it, you need it. And our economy thrives to perpetuate our own discontentment. Because why? It makes money. It has to do with greed. And as long as you're looking for security, significance, and satisfaction in material and physical blessings rather than the spiritual, you will never find it. The second lesson that Jesus gives us is live for the eternal and not the temporal. There is something different about this bread that Jesus offers, and he says it in verse 35, that why is unique. Jesus replied, I am bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Meaning all of those wants, those longings and yearnings, it's going to be satisfied if you'll simply feast on Jesus. Now, here's something you need to realize. The reason why physical and material things do not satisfy us is because the material and physical things are temporary. Okay? And our soul is eternal. And so you can't take a temporary thing and fulfill an eternal thing with. You have to have eternal for eternal. Jesus is eternal. And that's why physical and material things do not satisfy us, because our souls are eternal. And we have to have Jesus in order to survive. Hunger is something that God built into every human being to go, oh, your stomach's growling, it's time to eat. So you'll eat, okay? But God also put hunger in our soul. Yeah, is your stomach over there growling? Mine is. It's time to eat, isn't it? Yes. We're almost through. But God also put hunger in our soul. And we try to distract from it, run from it, or satisfy it with stuff. Things, material, physical. The world wants to satisfy your body. Jesus wants to satisfy your soul. The world doesn't care about your soul. All the world cares about is making money. And it is amazing how the crowd saw Jesus the wrong way and how Jesus saw the crowd the right way. Because Jesus saw the crowd as they were in need of a savior, and the crowd saw Jesus as the baker. They were only thinking of the physical rather than the spiritual. Jesus didn't see their hungry stomachs. He saw their hungry soul. And what Jesus wants you and I to understand is you can have a full stomach, but that fullness is only going to last for a little while, and then you're going to be hungry again. Your soul is what has to be satisfied with the bread of life. Now, I want you to think for a minute about how bread even gets here in the first place. It starts with a grain, and it's planted in the earth, and it grows, and it becomes the wheat. And when it's ripe, it's harvest time. The wheat is harvested. It's sold. It's put together in dough, and then you have to put it in the oven and bake it, and it rises, and voila, you've got bread. Jesus was born in this world, and he was planted as a seed in the womb of a virgin. He grew, and he grew completely sinless. And in the ripe time, when the harvest was ready, which was at the peak of his ministry, he was cut down. And he was put into the fiery oven of God's wrath. And by the way, wrath does not mean the emotion anger. Wrath is not an emotion, just like joy is not an emotion. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. God's wrath means judgment, and God's judgment to sin is Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear that. And he was cut down and put into that oven of God's wrath, and he became the finished bread of life. And that is the staple that sustains us. What happens when bread sits on a shelf too long, what happens to it? It becomes moldy. Mm-hmm. The bread that Jesus offers, which is his body and his blood, which we're about to celebrate, it never gets moldy because it's of eternal value. The bread on your kitchen cabinet is going to get moldy or be eaten, okay? It's here today, and it's gone tomorrow. And I'm here to ask you today, are you willing to receive the bread of life? And when you come to receive that bread of life, be like Moses or the disciples. Be the one that tells others where they can go find this bread. You're not to be the bread, but tell them and show them where they can find, because you have a story to tell. And if it's of great value and worth to you, you're going to be excited about it, and you're not going to be ashamed to tell somebody about it. And so with that being said, I would like for us to close our eyes, and I want you to take some time. And I want you to ask yourself this question: who is Jesus to you? And then I want you to confess your sin to him and let him speak to you who he is. Amen. Communion is a covenant. It's about covenant. It's the shedding of the blood, which is our juice. Jesus said, if you come to me, you will never be hungry or thirst again. This is a covenant. It is reminding you that you have said, yes, you are Lord of my life. It is his table, not ours. And he invites all to be able to come. Jesus was trying to get that point across to the disciples of it isn't it's not about the satisfaction of the physical. See, they were wanting to hang on to him. They didn't understand that he had to die. They didn't get it. And in that Last Supper, when Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When you eat this, this is my body. He was foretelling them that he was fixing to die on the cross to fulfill that covenant. They didn't have to wait anymore once a year for the Day of Atonement to be forgiven of their sins. He was fulfilling it right before their very eyes. And when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to his disciples and he said, drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood, the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Again, he's telling them, my blood's fixing to be poured out for you. And as often as you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me. See, God loves us so much that he uses constant symbolisms of I am bread. This, he's trying to communicate to us who he is. And he created you. And you have that place that only this bread and wine can fulfill. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and to make this bread and juice to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ. When we intake of you, may our desires be satisfied. May we be peaceful. May we be content. May we be filled with joy. May we know that we belong to you and the world will not define us. We thank you. that we get to be your children. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Those who are going to help serve, the worship team, Denise, for y'all to come and to take, I'll serve you. And then after they receive, the four people that are going to serve will stand at each corner, and the rest of you are welcome to come and to receive, and you can come to the kneeling rail and to stay as long as you desire. So I'm going to ask those of you first to come up, and I will serve you first.
Bye.
Are y'all ready to be satisfied and fulfilled? Amen. Yes. So go forth with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. God bless you.